It really doesn't matter how talented or how hardworking you are. There will always be someone who does better, who's paid better, who looks better, and downright is better. And the question is, how are you? How am I going to respond to that?
Welcome to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, now that you've built up my self-esteem, reminding me, you know, that there's always somebody better than me out there.
Someone a lot better than me.
That's right. How are we to respond to this?
Well, our series is about love, and we're getting to the point of what love actually looks like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality is that when we see people who are more able, more gifted, have better opportunities than we do, that's when envy and jealousy kick in. Why? Because we think more of ourselves than we do of others, and yet love seeks the good of others and rejoices in the good of others, finds great joy in the success, the blessing of others. And we're going to look at what a marvelous gift this is and what wonderful character this is. Love is kind. What a difference it's going to make in our relationships, in homes and in families, if we really learn to love well and to find joy in others who are blessed, especially if they're blessed even more than we are.
Well, we're going to see that today from the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. Hope you'll open your Bible and join us there as we begin this message, What Does Love Look Like? Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, I think that there may be many of us in the congregation who share this question. We wonder what love looks like. We're not sure that we have really grasped it. We're not sure that we really have it in us. You may not have seen it modeled at home. You have found it difficult through life to sustain relationships. You have kept moving on. You want to know what love looks like, but you've struggled really to get a handle on it beyond the word. Well, this is the place to begin. So I hope that you have your Bible open in front of you. Paul gives 15 characteristics of genuine love. That's an awful lot. So I've grouped them together and want to offer today 7 distinguishing marks of genuine love. 7 distinguishing marks of genuine love. And what I want us to do in the time that we have this morning is for us to learn them from the scripture and then for us to see simply and briefly how we are to use them practically in our lives. 7 distinguishing marks then of genuine love from 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. And the first, of course, is simply love's patience. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in verse 4, love is patient. Now, God's word has a wonderful way of bringing us right down to earth, because the danger for churchy people is we become way too spiritual by far. You know, we talk a kind of heavenly language that doesn't somehow touch the earth. And if you were to say to me, Colin, do you think you're a loving person? Are you loving towards your kids? Then I say, sure, I'm really, really loving towards my kids. I love my kids. Then if you were to say to me, Colin, are you really patient with your kids? I'd pause and I'd say, yeah, could do a little bit better. You see, the scripture brings us right down to earth to show us behind the words what the reality actually looks like. Think about a person you care for deeply. You want them to feel your love? Be patient with him. Be patient with her. Be patient with them. Grow in patience, and it will be evidence that you are growing in love. Another way of translating this same phrase here is love is patient, is to say love suffers long. That's the way the Authorized Version of the Bible has it. And it's a good translation. In other words, love gives you the capacity to put up with difficult people and desperate situations. That, by the way, is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Because living in this world, you just can't get through life without coming across difficult people and desperate situations. If you expect everybody in this world to care for you and seek the best for you, you are going to be disappointed. Jesus said, in this world you will have what? Trouble. You will have trouble. And living in this world, therefore, you and I have to develop the capacity to handle injuries. We have to have the capacity to deal with disappointments. We have to be able to handle frustrations and letdowns and conflicts and offenses that you will experience throughout the entire course of your life. And you say, how am I going to do that? How do I live in this world? How do I develop that capacity? And the answer is love will give you the capacity to endure, to suffer long, to put up with difficult people and desperate situations. You may be thinking, boy, that's what I need right now. Grow in love and you will gain the resilience that you need to live in a fallen world. Love's patience. So practical. Second, love's generosity. Now again, let's try and get behind the word that can be used in such a vague kind of way and cut down to the reality, which is what the Bible so constantly and so wonderfully does for us. Let me give another kind of application by asking a couple of questions. I won't ask them directly because that would be manipulative. But if I were to ask the question, do you love this church? I think that the vast majority of us would respond and say, sure, I love this church. Then if I was to ask a second question, are you generous to this church? Well, we might have a broader range of answers. But you see, the reality is that whatever our talk about love and whatever grand things we say about appreciation and so forth, the Bible brings us down to this reality that love will be reflected, if it's real, in generosity. Love is kind. It's generous. And the degree to which you are growing in generosity is the degree to which you are growing in love. Now, someone has said that the greatest thing a man can do for his Heavenly Father is to be kind to some of his other children. And if you want to grow in love, focus on trying to bring pleasure to those God has placed around you. Love is generous. And it is generous not only in what it gives to and does for others, it is also generous in the way it regards what others are doing. And here we come to Paul's next statement that love doesn't envy. Henry Drummond, who wrote a classic little book on this great chapter, he says, whenever you attempt a good work, you will find other men who are attempting the same kind of work and are probably doing it better. And that's true. You're raising a child, there's someone else doing it better. You're teaching a class, there's someone else doing it better. You're running a business, somebody else is doing it better. You're serving in ministry, somebody else is doing it better. Whatever you are doing, there are always other people who are doing it. In that sense, there is competition. And the question is, how are you going to respond to that? How do you respond to those who are doing what you do and they are doing it better? You meet up with someone from your college years. And you see very obviously straight away that God has prospered them more than he has prospered you. How do you react? Do you rejoice in what they have received from God? Or do you come away saying, well, now, why did that not happen for me? See, it really doesn't matter how talented or how hardworking you are. There will always be someone who does better, who's paid better, who looks better, and downright is better. And the question is, how are you? How am I going to respond to that? How do you handle the greater success of other people? And Paul says, love does not envy. Grow in love and you will be released from this churlishness. Cultivate a generous spirit and you will be blessed. Love's patience. Love's generosity.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called What Does Love Look Like? It's part of a larger series called Love, a Beginner's Guide, where we're taking a look at the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. Now, if you ever miss a broadcast or part of one, maybe you join us late or you have to leave early, you can always come to the website and listen online. You can stream the program or simply download it for free. You can just stop by our website, unlockingthebible.org, and you'll find the links there. You could also sign up to podcast the program or to get the Unlocking the Bible app. Those are two other ways to listen whenever it fits your schedule. Again, you'll find all the links you need at unlockingthebible.org. All right, back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
Love's patience. Love's generosity. Love's humility. Notice three statements of Paul here. He says, love does not boast, it is not proud, and then just a little later he says, it is not self-seeking. Now, the word that is translated proud here, the root of it literally means windbag. You know that kind of person? The windbag. This is the person whose conversation is mainly about himself or about herself. There's a phrase that I've often heard used to describe this kind of person. Here's the phrase, that he was a missionary to the Wenai tribe. And this is the person who's always saying, now, when I did this, and when I did that, and when I was here, and when I was there. And at least in our circle, we've often said, well, you know, he's a missionary to the Wenai tribe. Because his conversation is constantly about himself. Dr. Alan Redpath says, I think very helpfully, when a man begins to boast, he is advertising his emptiness and his ignorance. There is no swagger about love. It is too big for that. The Lord Jesus Christ never showed off. His greatness was revealed not merely in what he displayed, but in the things that he suppressed. That's powerful. The greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ revealed not only in what he displayed, but in the things that he suppressed. Jonathan Edwards says, a person of selfish spirit is ready to make much of the afflictions that he himself is under, as if his privations or sufferings were greater than those of anybody else. Here Paul talks about not being self-seeking, and a self-seeking person, another brand of self-centeredness, is often a person who makes much of the difficulties that he or she has to bear as if they were always greater than anybody else. You speak to anyone who has gone through major suffering, someone who has gone through cancer, someone who has gone through a bereavement, and you will find they have a story about someone who came to visit them and spent half an hour talking about their own indigestion. It's true. And it is one of the marks of self-absorption that it makes a person insensitive to the needs of others, because the mind is so focused on the difficulties I face that I begin to lose sensitivity to the realities, sometimes far greater, that are being faced by other people God has placed around me. Love is not self-seeking. You want to grow in love? Stop being obsessed with yourself. In the pattern of your thoughts, in the pattern of your words, start taking a genuine interest in other people. I have a little phrase that just stays in my mind, and I've found it helpful. Love begets forgetfulness of self, and forgetfulness of self is health. You healthy? Or is the reality that your mind is so full of your own immediate circumstances that you've lost sight of others God has placed around you? There's a great deliverance here that comes from being filled with the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, here's distinguishing mark number four, and I think it's a very important one. I want to give it some emphasis. Love's courtesy. Paul emphasizes here in these four very important words that love is not rude. Love is not rude. Now, you may think this is a small thing. Actually, it is, I believe, of great significance. I want us to take this seriously as a distinguishing mark of genuine love. And here's an encouragement. If you are in a situation where love is burning low, where the fires of love in a relationship that is important to you are not particularly bright, this is the simplest and easiest place for you to begin. Courtesy. Love is not rude. Courtesy shows a valuing of another person. At its simplest level, please, thank you, I'm sorry, well done. Simple courtesies that might be going too much out of life in our day. Someone has said helpfully that courtesy is the oil in the machinery of human relationships. And life begins to grind when we lose fundamental respect for other people, sometimes those who are closest to us, and we begin to take them for granted, and we speak to them abruptly in ways that we wouldn't even speak to other people. Love is not rude. Practice courtesy in the way that you listen. We've all known situations where we've barged into a conversation and broken into what another person is saying. Love doesn't do that. Love is not rude. Love says, I listen. I'm interested in what you have to say. I want to hear what you've said before I say what I have to say. I value what you think. Love is not rude. And practice courtesy in the words you withhold. See, it's so easy to slip into the habit of speaking about the people we love best in a way that highlights their faults and their weaknesses. Oh, he's always like that. Oh, I can tell you a better one than that. My wife, etc. Now, that's just rude. Love is not rude. Love, because it protects in its very nature. Love wants that others will think the best of someone you love. So don't bring out the worst in the person you love. Love covers over a multitude of sins, the Bible says. Courtesy is discreet. And so practice courtesy in the words you withhold. It's an expression of love. Fifth, love's restraint. Look at these wonderful statements of Paul. Love is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Not easily angered. Put that another way, not quickly provoked. Love is not touchy, is the way that one translator puts it. Not easily upset, not quick to be offended, not fast for the hackles to rise. Now, let me ask some questions here. Are there folks who feel that they need to handle you with kid gloves? Is that how you want them to feel? Are there folks who feel really hesitant about speaking to you candidly because they're just not sure how you're going to react? Where that's the case, we need to learn more about love. This business of being easily angered, you know, is the besetting sin of some of the most hardworking, loyal, deeply committed people in all of the world. And one reason that I say that is that the great example of this in the Bible is in a story that Jesus told the prodigal son. And you remember that the prodigal had an older brother who remained at home and was hardworking and was committed and was loyal and did everything that his father told him and all the rest of it. But when the younger brother came back, the coldness in the older brother's soul was revealed. When the father threw a party for the younger boy, we are told that the older brother, Jesus said, became what? Angry. He became angry, Luke chapter 15 and verse 28, and he refused to go in. The besetting sin of someone who works so hard and is so upright and so committed and so loyal is that there can be a hidden poison in the soul. A bad temper that comes out. To your own surprise, have we not all known this? You have reacted sharply. And then you've said to yourself, as I've said to myself, why ever did I do that? And when you see that you're burning on a short fuse, it reveals that something is going wrong on the inside. Now, what can you do about the souring of the soul in the middle of your upright commitment? The answer is, we need a fresh filling of the love of Christ. And one of the effects of it will be that love will enable us to exercise restraint in the frustrations that we feel. It will help you to keep your poise when you are provoked, because love is not easily angered.
Unfortunately, we do have to pause the message right there, as we are just about out of time, but you're listening to a message entitled, What Does Love Look Like? It's part of a series entitled, Love, A Beginner's Guide, really taking a look a little bit more deeply at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a passage that is read at so many weddings, and rightfully so, but as Pastor Colin would say, a passage that many people really don't have a clear understanding of. And so that's what we're doing in this series, really drilling down on 1 Corinthians 13, or the love chapter. If you want to get a copy of the series for yourself, ask about Love, A Beginner's Guide, when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED, or come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. You know, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and we depend on your generosity to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station. But as you give a gift this month, we want to say thank you by sending you two books from Pastor Colin. The first is called Heaven So Near So Far, The Story of Judas Iscariot. The other, Heaven How I Got Here, The Story of the Thief on the Cross.
And Steve, the story of the thief on the cross is the most marvelous example of God's grace in action. You know, I find that a lot of people have the idea that if a person is to enter into heaven, it's going to be as a result of living a good enough life. And the story of the thief on the cross is so marvelously clear, because this is a man who obviously had not lived a good life and obviously was not in a position where he was able to start living a good life. I mean, he's right at the end. So you think, if ever there's a person for whom there is absolutely no hope whatsoever, it's this man.
Yeah.
But he finds himself next to Jesus, and he reaches out to Jesus in very simple faith. Jesus, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? And Jesus says to him, today you will be with me in paradise. Now that's grace. So if there's someone in your life who needs to understand grace, this is a book that you can give to them. It's an easy read, the story of the thief on the cross, written in the first person, and it'll help a friend or a family member to grasp the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we would love to send you a copy of this book and its companion book, Heaven So Near So Far, The Story of Judas Iscariot. You just give a gift of any amount, and we're going to say thank you by sending you these two books. Give online at unlockingthebible.org or call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Again, that's unlockingthebible.org or 1-866-865-6253. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. The Bible gives us a snapshot of what genuine love looks like. Find out how to use this picture to grow in love on the next Unlocking the Bible.